Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Money Talking from WNYC. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith in for Charlie Herman. Some of the biggest, wealthiest financial institutions in the country are making some really interesting moves right now. They're going after less wealthy customers. Goldman Sachs, usually associated with multi-million dollar corporate deals, is developing an online service that will loan money directly to customers. And the loans appear to be for pretty modest amounts of money, things like debt consolidation and home remodeling. We saw a similar move recently from American Express. It teamed up with Walmart on a prepaid debit card called Bluebird. Amex CEO Ken Chenault said targeting less wealthy customers will make the company stronger.
It remains a premium brand, an aspirational brand, but it's now viewed as less elitist. In fact, it is now viewed as more welcoming and inclusive. It is relevant to more people and therefore more valuable.
For more on this move to the middle by Goldman Sachs and American Express, we've got Shelley Banjo of Quartz and Ben White of Politico. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hi, Susie.
So, Shelley, let's start with you. What do you think of this move by Goldman Sachs? Do you think this is a sign that maybe the bank is starting to target less wealthy customers?
I think it's a pretty big sign of the times. You know, online lending is really having a moment right now. Post-recession, and Goldman's looking around and saying, you know, we have some money here. Instead of letting someone else, you know, eat our lunch, you know, maybe we should look into doing something like this too.
So, Ben, let's talk a little bit about the politics of this move. So ever since the recession, the government has really stepped up its regulation of financial institutions. Do you think that these moves by Goldman and American Express are at all in reaction to that?
I think they're definitely, to some degree, in reaction to regulation. For Goldman, it's also an outcropping of the financial crisis. When that was taking place, they were forced to become a bank holding company. At the time, they didn't get much into retail banking, into making loans to individuals and small businesses, but they did start taking retail deposits. And now they've decided, well, let's do something with that money. And they're not able to trade the way they used to. They still make money trading. They'll still make money advising the super, super wealthy. But there's not as much money to be made there in the new regulatory environment as there was. They see this is an $840 billion business. We got the tools. We've got the deposit. Let's go do it.
How big a part of their business do you think this will be?
They don't know that. I've talked to some of them recently. They think it could be significant if they take 20% of an $840 billion business. That's a piece of change for them. I don't think the margins will be as high as on some of their other businesses, some of their trading businesses. And, you know, it remains to be seen whether there'll be a market out there among the small business person and the individual borrower to try to get a Goldman Sachs loan. But as Cheneau said for American Express, Goldman also views itself as an aspirational brand, as something that people will want to be associated with. If you're a small business and you can go out there and say, hey, I'm backed by Goldman Sachs, that starts to look pretty good.
And Shelley, do you think this is a good business move for Goldman? Do you see this as a wise move?
I agree with Ben. I think they're dipping their toe into this now, and they are kind of reserving the right to turn it up, you know, dial it up or dial it down, depending on how things go. So, you know, if it turns out to be great, it turns out to be a, you know, huge moneymaker for them, then they'll be able to really turn that dial. If it ends up not working out, then, you know, Goldman still has this whole other business, you know, serving wealthy clients that are certainly not going away anytime soon.
I want to change direction for a moment and talk about a really different part of the economy, the fast food industry. McDonald's has been having trouble for a while. It's been in the news a lot lately. And Yum Brands, the company that owns KFC and Pizza Hut, has been having a lot of trouble in China, its largest market. In fact, this week, KFC sued Chinese rivals for defamation after a social media campaign accused KFC of breeding eight-legged chickens to maximize drumstick production. So, Ben, we'll start with you. These are companies that came through the financial crisis looking really good.
Right.
They did really well at that time. Why do you think they're having trouble now?
Well, I think they're on the wrong side of the kale revolution a little bit. They are, McDonald's in particular, has made some efforts to offer healthier menu items, but people are migrating to Panera's. They're migrating to the fast casual food chains, the Chipotle's of the world, because you get slightly higher grade ingredients and people feel better about that. And McDonald's is a burger and fry company, and it's difficult for them. And they're trying to market to millennials with this Hamburglar who has a 5 o'clock shadow and is like your hipster Hamburglar. And I don't know how much that's going to work.
It seems like straying is not necessarily going to be the best move for them. I mean, people come to them because they want that burger and fries and shake, and they can get kale and good salads everywhere. So kind of waffling back and forth and back and forth, which McDonald's has done over the past couple of decades, doesn't seem to have worked for them.
Yeah, and let's not have our hearts bleed for Ronald McDonald just yet, because they're still printing money over there. They're still the 800-pound gorilla in the industry, making a ton. Sales are going down some, and maybe they'll continue that trend, but we've got a long way to go. Ronald's going to be okay. KFC, the Yum brands have some similar problems. In China, I was there not too long ago, and the Pizza Huts and KFCs, both owned by Yum, were largely empty. The Chinese had sort of a early love affair with them as a novelty, something new. You get this cool American fast food, then realize they can get better pizzas, sort of higher-end pizzas anywhere, better chicken. And the Chinese menu items they were serving were kind of ridiculous. So these are problems. I don't know if they can be solved.
So guys, before we go, I wanted to ask if there are any stories that you are looking ahead to next week. Ben, let's start with you.
So I'm looking for Jeb Bush to put some meat on the bones of his economic proposals and tell us how he plans to double the rate of economic growth and create these 19 million new jobs.
And Shelley, what about you? What are you going to be looking ahead to next week?
Well, the story that I'm really that really caught my eye is this whole thing about the U.S. Treasury putting a woman on the dollar bill. It's picking one woman. Who is that going to be?
Is there a particular woman you would like to see on our currency?
I'm on team Susan B. Anthony.
Susan B. Anthony. What about you, Ben?
I'm a Harriet Tubman person. I just think her history is so incredible. What she did in the Underground Railroad was amazing. Her life story is amazing. And let me just say the most surprising thing to me about this story is that we are taking Hamilton off the 10. First Treasury Secretary invented the American financial system. It's sort of ridiculous to take him off. And we got Andrew Jackson still on the 20, and he loathed paper money. His farewell address as president, he railed in paragraph after paragraph about the evils of paper money. So the fact that, I mean, if he could come out of the grave and take himself off the $20 bill, he would do it in a second. In a perfect world, we take off Jackson and leave Hamilton.
Shelley Banjo from Quartz and Ben White from Politico. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith, and this is Money Talking from WNYC.